Book of Lamentations this morning, Lamentations chapter number 3, Lamentations chapter number 3 in your Bibles this morning, and we look forward to continuing in our series on mercy. As you're looking for Lamentations, it's right after Jeremiah and before Ezekiel. That helps some of you, none at all, but Lamentations chapter number 3, and we of course have been in this series for some time. And I just impressed one day to bring a message on mercy, and then it turned into this series, and we'll be going for some time more in this series on mercy. But much of the study and things that I've dealt with in this series comes from Jeremiah, comes from Lamentations. Of course, Jeremiah is the author of the book of Lamentations, as well as the book of Jeremiah, and I've enjoyed personally a study in the book of Jeremiah for about the last 6 months now. And so we look at a little bit today that ties in with our series on mercy. In Lamentations chapter number 3, I'm going to read verses 21 through 24. And we have been moving around some in the scripture on Sunday morning, but this morning we'll stay right here in this text in verses 21 through verses 24. So follow along with me, Lamentations chapter number 3, beginning with verse 21. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." What wonderful, wonderful promises in the Word of God. This morning, we look at this passage, and we've referenced this before, these verses before. We'll reference them again in the future. This morning, I want to look at this passage from this standpoint, mercy and the future. Mercy and the future. I want us to see this morning that we do not have to be controlled by fear of the future, because there's mercy in the future. Our tomorrow should not be controlled by the fear of tomorrow. So we're going to look at mercy in the future. Father, help us today as we look into Your Word. Help us as we ponder these truths and we see what You have for us to learn and apply today. Father, I pray if there's one unsaved today, be their day of salvation. May Christians be encouraged today. May Christians decide that they're going to just continue to trust and press forward in the days ahead, and that You'll just provide what they need. And Father, I pray that You'll just bless Your church today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Lamentations, we can gather this, even if you haven't spent much study or time there at all, you can gather by the name of the book that it is a sad book of Scripture. I think it's one of the saddest books in all of the Bible. This is not really applied to the message today, but it's a good reminder for us that even in God's holy word, there's periods that describe sadness, describe lows. You are not unusual in your life of mountaintops and valleys. We find here recorded in this book of Scripture some sad events. This book is a cry of a broken prophet, standing in the ruins of a broken nation. Jeremiah had spent decades preaching and warning Judah that judgment was coming. He pleaded with kings. He preached to the priests, the preachers of the day, if you will. He called a nation to repentance. Again and again, they refused to listen. Eventually, though, everything that Jeremiah had prophesied came to pass. And friend, it's a good reminder for you and I today that everything that this book tells us will come to pass, will come to pass. Just as God's people in that day thought they were the exception, perhaps, or they wanted to ignore it, we cannot do the same thing in this day. But everything came to pass. The Babylonians invaded Jerusalem. The city walls were destroyed. The temple was burned. Homes were leveled. Families were scattered. Thousands were killed. Others were carried away into captivity. The city that once bustled with life now sat in silence. That city that everything just was going about as it always did, as the voice of the prophet was saying and warning that judgment was coming, that same city that was just, things are just going too well, for us to stop and consider what is said, is now silent. Jeremiah did not write this book of the Bible we read this morning while he was sitting in his comfortable study pondering these things. He wrote it while looking at the devastation. He saw the smoke that billowed from the fiery ruins. He saw the destruction. He stepped over the rubble. He saw the consequences of the sin. He saw a future that looked uncertain. In chapter number 3, the chapter from which we get our text this morning, you see words like affliction, bitterness, sorrow, and grief. In verse number 20, listen to these words, "My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." Jeremiah was not pretending everything is fine. He says, "My soul hath them still in remembrance." Think of the things the prophet had seen. Think of the cries in the night he had heard. Think of those he knew that had been killed. Think of those that he saw weeping because now their children had been taken from them into captivity. He writes, "This I recall to my mind." He says, "My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." He was not pretending everything was fine. He was not in the middle of that scenario denying reality. He was not ignoring the pain brought on by the situation. You say, "Pastor, why are you saying that?" Because sometimes we think that promises of God are only in those rosy scenarios. He was not minimizing the uncertainty that was in his mind and in his heart. In fact, humanly speaking, Jeremiah had every reason to despair. He had every reason to have no hope. His mind was not playing tricks on him, if you will. His brain was processing the smell of the smoke and the embers that would fill his nostrils. His mind was still remembering and trying to process the chaos and the sorrow and the screams. But in the midst of that season, when he had every reason to despair, plus he's internalizing, "If you had only listened, if you had only heard, instead of opposing, you had submitted." Yet in the middle of this dark chapter, of not just in the history of Israel, but in his own life and ministry, it's in the midst of all of that when his eyes are seeing these horrors, these ears have heard the scream, his mind is replaying the horrible scenes. We don't know this for certainty, but it is reasonable to believe that Jeremiah's eyes witness the killing of his own people by this invading army. In the midst of all of that, despair and sorrow and grief and all of those things, he documents all of that, his feelings, those words we used, affliction, bitterness. But then in verse 21, he says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." These are great verses when you lift them off of the page and you put them on a bookmark, or you put just preach a sermon on God's mercies. But when you put it in complete context of the ruin and the rubble and the sorrow and the nightmares and the regret and the destruction and the despair and the weeping and the wailing and in the leveling of a city, the silence that was deafening. And when you put it in that context, he says, I'm bringing something to mind. I recall to my mind, but in the midst of the despair have I hope. Why is that? It's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. The context of this, Jeremiah sees a new morning and the fires are still burning. The women are still wailing. Perhaps there's even dead still laying in the streets. There are children missing. The city has been leveled. And he said, God's mercies are still new on this morning. And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God's mercy is still going to be new on that morning. It's in this context that he speaks these words. Hope did not come from the changing circumstances. If Jeremiah, and he was human like us, if he had responded like sometimes we do, well, once all of this gets fixed, then I can focus on the mercies of God. Once the circumstances change, no, that was not what he was saying. That's not what he was hoping. That's not what we see. His hope was not in changing circumstances. His hope came from remembered truth. And friend, this is why you need to be in church every time the church doors are open. This is why you can't afford to lay out on God. This is why you've got to get in that Bible. This is why you have to sit in every Sunday school class and hear every Sunday school lesson. Because when your city has been burned and the bodies are stacking up and the despair is all around you and you don't even have a Bible in your hand to hold, you don't have a preacher to sit in front of and hear the message, you have to take your mind to remember those truths that have been put deep in your heart long before you knew you would need it, long before you knew how important it was. He brought back in his mind the truth that God's mercies are new every morning. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Friend, this morning, you know why some of you sit without hope? Because you haven't recalled to mind the right things. Hope came from remembered truth. Don't miss this. And if this is all I said this morning, I think it'd be enough. It's not all I'm going to say this morning, but it would be enough. Jeremiah intentionally turned his mind away from what he could see and toward what he knew about God. He's seeing these things. Pastor, you just don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand how I feel. You don't understand the hurt. You don't understand the circumstances. You don't understand the destruction. You don't understand the rubble that is my life. You don't understand that. If you saw what I saw, friend, you don't understand what Jeremiah saw. You don't understand what his mind was processing. You don't understand the sorrow and the hardship he witnessed. His eyes, he could see the reality of his day. But his mind went back to who he knew God was. What was it that gave him hope? It wasn't a government bailout to rebuild his life. It wasn't a new government, and if we could just get to another election. It wasn't circumstances changing and I'll get a wave of good luck. It was not anything that was visible or a viable solution from a human standpoint. What was it that took a man who prophesied against a nation, who was persecuted for his prophecy, who was ignored, and now the invading army has come in. The city has been leveled. Thousands are dead. Many have been taken in captivity. The city is in ruins. What is it then that says, causes him, I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope? That is not the circumstance to be talking about hope. That is not the background for where we talk or think of hope. But what was it? One word, mercy. See, the future looked uncertain. But can I tell you what was not uncertain? God's mercy was not uncertain. Jeremiah discovered a truth every believer today must learn. When you cannot see what tomorrow holds, you can still trust the God whose mercies will be there when tomorrow arrives. That was better than some of you are acting. I'm going to say it again. When you cannot see what tomorrow holds, you can still trust the God whose mercies will be there when tomorrow arrives. Mercy is why the child of God can face tomorrow with hope. You may have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, but you can face it with hope. You may have a circumstance in your life. You can face it with hope. You may have a disappointment that you have faced, but you can face it with hope. You may have sorrow that you carry, but you can face it with hope. Pastor, what do you mean? Is the pain going to be taken away? I can't promise you the pain will be taken away. I can't promise you the disappointment will cease. But what I can tell you is that mercy will always be available for the child of God. Let me give us a few thoughts this morning. Statement number one, mercy gives hope when circumstances do not. Verse 21 again, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. I already mentioned this, but let's look at it a little further. Jeremiah's hope was not rooted in what he saw. And let's be honest, we do this. You hear the preacher preach, you read it in the Bible. You see all that hope. We always, as a Christian, we know that all things work together for good, but our eyes sometimes tell us something different. Everything around him was telling him to despair. The city was ruined. The people were suffering, and there was not going to be an ending in sight to that suffering. He could not see a clear future. Yet in that, hope remained. Why is that? Because Jeremiah discovered what you and I must also discover, is that mercy, God's mercy, is always bigger than whatever circumstances we're facing. Don't miss this. Many Christians today attach their hope to things that are constantly changing. They attach their hope to their finances. If you let your finances dictate your spiritual condition, that goes up and down. Gas prices go up and down. But you know God's still God. God's promises to still provide are true, whether gas is $4 a gallon or $1 a gallon. You know, the stock market goes up and down. Your retirement fund goes up and down. We attach our hope to our health. As long as I have my health, then I have some hope. But what if you don't have your health? Well, I have it, so I'm depending on that. Well, you just have enough birthdays, and you won't have it like you have it now. What about your career? You know that career can change tomorrow. Relationships change. We put our hope in a relationship. Let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's run a self-diagnostic this morning. Is your hope in your, well, as long as this person, or as long as I have this, or even if as long as the pastor, as long as, is your hope in a relationship or is it in God's mercy? The government. Well, we can get this president out and get this another president in. And we end up being in pretty much the same situation. Our hope is not in the government. What about the economy? I like a good economy. I like it when things we need to buy are cheaper, and I like a good economy. But as a Christian, we cannot attach our hope to things that are always going to be unstable. Likewise, if your hope is attached to circumstances, your hope will rise and fall with those circumstances. But what we learn from Jeremiah in this passage is completely different than that. Hope is not found in favorable conditions. Hope is found, are you ready for it, in the character of God. The Christian's confidence is not everything's going to work out exactly like I want it. Everything's going to work out okay. And what is it we do? We try and talk ourselves up. Boy, everything's bad. I have nothing else to say. Well, there's always hope in God, which is true, but do we believe it? The Christian's confidence is God will be merciful no matter what happens. If government is oppressive, God will be merciful. If the economy collapses, God will still be merciful. If I lose every relationship, God will be merciful. If my health goes tomorrow, God will be merciful. If life crumbles around me, God will be merciful. See, when circumstances change and when failure comes in life, let me tell you what stays in place. Mercy does. When plans fail, mercy's still there. When expectations don't come to fruition, mercy's still there. And that is why Jeremiah can say, therefore have I hope. His hope was not in the shepherds of that day. His hope was not in the infrastructure of a city. His hope was not in the city's success or failure. His hope was in the character of God. Because only one thing can come forth when you're standing in rubble. Only one thing can come forth when you've witnessed the things that you've seen. Only one thing can come forth with your mind replaying the nightmares. Imagine what would happen if this was our city, in our neighbors, in our children. The despair was there. There's no man you can look to. There's no system you can count on. But you must be able to say, I've brought some things to mind, therefore I have hope. Because I cannot depend on God, man's character. I cannot depend on my character, but I can depend on God's character. See, mercy gives hope when circumstances do not. Get this morning, friend. Your circumstances do not have to change for you to have hope. Because God's mercy is real. There's some of you, things in your life started crumbling in the past, and here you still are. And God still loves you, and you still have hope, and you still have a tomorrow, and you still have something to live for. You still have all of those things. Why is it? It's God's mercy. I said, number one, mercy gives hope when circumstances do not. Number two, mercy means God is already in tomorrow. Mercy means God is already in tomorrow. Please don't miss this. A reason that a lot of Christians fear the future. This is going to be deep. It's because you can't see it. We fear the unknown. We fear what could happen. That fear is, well, this might happen. I know what God says. I know what, but this might happen. Can I remind us all what we would all say we know to be true? God has never been surprised by tomorrow. We could all say there's been some tomorrows in our life that shocked us, surprised us. But God has never been surprised by a tomorrow. The Old Testament Isaiah declares in chapter 46 and verse 10, he says, declaring the end from the beginning. He already knows the end. Psalms 139 teaches that every day of our lives was known by God before we lived a single one. See, friend, nothing in your future catches God off guard. Nothing surprises him. This scenario that we find ourselves revisiting in the book of Lamentations did not send heaven into a panic. And friend, whatever you face tomorrow or somewhere in the future is not going to panic God. He's not going to be scrambling around heaven trying to find a solution. Say, why is that? Before your tomorrow ever comes, God is already there. Well, can you explain how He is already there? If I could explain it, I'd be God, and I'm not God. But I know our God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's already in tomorrow. His mercy is already there. Before your heartache comes, God already knows about it. Before your circumstances change, God already knows about it. Before the burden arrives, God's already prepared the mercy for it. The same mercy that carried you from yesterday to today is the same mercy that's already waiting for you tomorrow. Think about it. You know how heavy the burden was yesterday? Well, maybe there's somebody here this morning and say, well, if I can just get to church tomorrow. But it's God's mercy that sustains you from yesterday to today. Can I tell you what's going to be waiting for you in the morning? That same mercy is already there. That means you do not walk into an unknown future by yourself. You walk into an unknown future that God already occupies. God's already occupying tomorrow. He's already occupying a year from now. He's already occupying that future that you have no answer for, that you don't know how it's going to work out. God is already there because His mercy is already there. Mercy means God is already in tomorrow. Statement number three, mercy arrives daily, not all at once. Notice what we're reminded in verse 23. We know we're talking about His mercies in verse 23. These are the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Verse 23, they are new every morning. This is one of the most comforting statements in Scripture. Because what gets me through today is going to be there tomorrow to get me through tomorrow. We've all done this. We've all said something like this. I don't know how I'm going to get through, and whatever that is. There's a date that looms on a calendar. There's a future that is different. There's relationships that have been altered. We've all done this. I don't know how I'm going to get through that, much less get there. Let me tell you this morning something that's going to sound very obvious when I say it, but something that we don't always focus on. God's not going to give you next year's mercy today. If He's not going to give you next year's mercy today, He's not going to give you next month's mercy today. In fact, He's not even going to give you tomorrow's mercy today. He gives today's mercy today. Tomorrow's mercy will be waiting. But He's not giving it to you all at once. Because truth of the matter is, we couldn't handle it all at once. We'd squander it if we got it. We don't even know what we wouldn't even know what to do with it. Let me help you this morning. There's many people, many Christians become overwhelmed because they're trying to carry future burdens with present strength. Think about that for a minute. There's some of you in the building this morning, some of you watching the live stream this morning, you're overwhelmed not because of what you're facing today. You're overwhelmed because you're already trying to carry tomorrow. You're trying to carry the future with the strength you have today. Let me help you. You can't carry the future with what God's given you strength for to carry today. You have to carry today with the mercy that God's given you today. And if you look into the future, into the unknown, it's easy to become overwhelmed because you don't have what you need today to carry that burden in the future. You don't have the mercy and grace today to deal with that in the future. And we can become overwhelmed because the obstacle is so big, but we're not intended to carry future burdens with the present mercy. It is our Lord Himself in Matthew 6 that says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." Why is this? Because tomorrow's mercy comes tomorrow. When tomorrow arrives, mercy arrives. So what about burdens in the future? Well, when the burdens come, mercy comes. When the trial comes, mercy comes. When the valley comes, mercy comes. Friend, God never promised advanced delivery. He promised daily supply. And God never, it would do us all well to have confidence. We walk around our house, if you can picture this, and in a spare room, we have all the mercy we will ever need stacked up in there. And it would give us comfort and it would give us confidence to be able to open that door and say, yep, it's all in there and there's trials coming. I don't know what they all are, but all I have to do is come get the mercy that I need. Oh, it would give us confidence in living our life and our daily struggles to know that I know there's challenges out there. I know there's uncertainty out there, but oh, I've got enough mercy stored up that anytime I need it, I can just go in there and get exactly what I need to get me through. Friend, we don't have to have a room with the mercy stacked up to give us the confidence we need. We have an almighty God who sits on His throne, who has told us that my mercy is new every morning. When you get up in the morning, there'll be exactly that daily supply that you need. Because let's be honest, if that was a true scenario, before we left the house, we'd go to that room and we'd get the mercy that we thought we needed. Because we don't even know what's coming that day. We don't even know the trial we're facing that day. We don't know the news we're getting that day. We don't know the disappointment that's coming that day. We could not even prepare ourselves for it, but we have a God in heaven who sits on His throne. He already knows what's happening later that day. He already knows what's happening in the dark hours, and He's got that exact dose of mercy waiting and available at the right time, and He gives us that mercy, a daily supply. Not advanced delivery. We can live confident even if we're standing in rubble because the sun's not going to set without God giving me exactly the mercy I need today. See, the man in the wilderness came daily, just as the mercy of God comes daily. And every morning, God gives us, here's what you need for today. Let me say fourthly and finally this morning, mercy is the foundation of our Christian confidence. I word it like that because we as Christians cannot be self-confident. We cannot allow our pride to think that we have what it takes. Because, friend, life can bring something that you didn't anticipate, and you'll find out very quickly you do not have what it takes. But, friend, I can have confidence. And might I say I do have confidence in a God who will sustain me when I cannot sustain myself. I have confidence in a God that can show mercy to a nation when there's no mercy that's earned. There's no mercy that's deserved. Look with me at our text this morning. Verse 23 again. They are new every morning. We've already rejoiced over that. Let's sum up this verse in this thought. Great is thy faithfulness. Friend, the source of confidence today is not in ourselves. The source of our confidence is not in our abilities. And friend, this morning, I can tell you as a pastor, there have been some dark valleys for people. There have been some dark times when I've had to look people in the eye and not have the answers and say, you're going to be okay tomorrow. You're going to be okay the next day. Well, why is that? It don't make sense. All I can tell you is that I'm confident that you're going to be okay because I have a God in heaven who is faithful. What I'm saying is, not great is not my faithfulness. Not even great is the faithfulness of a church, but great is the faithfulness of God. And friend, you and I can have confidence that as we go through this life, and we don't have to be scared of what takes place in this world. We don't have to be scared of the unknown because we have a faithful God. We can be bold and confident, and we can move forward and move past those fears because of His faithfulness. Our confidence is not our plans. It's not in our abilities. You can have the best plans, but life has a way of changing all those. You can have the greatest abilities, but your abilities can't stop the world from spinning on its axis. You can't stop what Ecclesiastes just refers to as life. You can't stop the disappointments that come. It's not our resources. We all have limited resources. The source of our confidence is God. Friend, the future may be uncertain, but God is not uncertain. The road may be unclear, but God is clear. Your strength may fluctuate. God's does not. His faithfulness is the foundation underneath every promise. Think about that. We read and we rejoice and we say amen. That is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. But if He was not faithful, there'd be nothing for that promise to rest on. Oh, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But if He was not faithful, that promise would have nothing to rest on. Oh, His mercies are new every day. But if He was not faithful, what would we build that truth on? And friend, I can recall the mind in the dark days I'll face in the future. I can call to mind when I'm standing in life's rubble. And I can bring some things to my mind and I can have hope. Because on that hope rests a faithful God. Rest a God that is always faithful. See, if God was not faithful, mercy would be uncertain. But because God is faithful, mercy is dependable. So you can be a confident Christian, not because you can change circumstances, not because you know the future, but because you have a faithful God who tells you no matter what you face, there'll be unpleasant things, there'll be unnerving things. You may even stand in a city where your neighbors have been murdered by an invading army. The city has been in rubble. The children have been stolen away. You can see the smoke from the flames still, and you can still say, oh, I know where I have hope. I have hope in the promises of God because His mercy is new every day. And because He is faithful, I know the mercy is going to be there. Well, how much do I need? I have no idea. But He knows how much I need, and He'll give me exactly what I need, exactly when I need it. So in the morning, that uncertainty may be there. Those obstacles may be there, that despair may be there, that burden may be there, that disappointment may be there, that tragedy may be there, that heartache may be there, but let me tell you who got there first. It was the God of the heavens. It was the God who's created all things. It was God who sits on His throne. And He got there before despair got there. He got there before uncertainty got there. He got there before heartache got there. And He's there with the exact amount of mercy that's going to get me through that 24-hour period. And then the next day, He's got the exact amount I need again. He's faithful. Therefore, we can be confident. Friend, when you leave here today, be confident not in your own ability. Don't be confident because everything is exactly like it should be. But you have a God that will give you exactly what you need when you need it to get through it. Maybe you walked into church today with fears about tomorrow. I can tell by the look on a lot of your faces this morning. It's, how did he know? Let me tell you how I knew. Because we've all been there. If you're not there today, you'll be there in the future. Maybe you walked into church today and you're trying to be focused. You were trying to sing those hymns. You weren't trying to pay attention to the announcements. You never do that, but you were trying to be involved. But tomorrow just kept pulling your mind. Keeps pulling your focus. There's questions you can't answer. Maybe I'll find the answer at church. It's a good place to look. But sometimes the answer is, I'm already in tomorrow. Sometimes the answer is, you can't see the future, but just know my mercy is in the future. There's situations you can't control. There's possibilities you can't predict. Maybe you've been asking yourself the question, what am I going to do? But would we allow Jeremiah, the prophet of God, to point us this morning to an even better question, a more appropriate question than what am I going to do? And that question is, what is God going to do? And that answer is the same thing he has always done. He'll be merciful. The God who showed us all mercy yesterday will show mercy again tomorrow. Friend, can I encourage you this morning? You didn't get here without God sustaining you. You didn't get here without his help. He'll get you through tomorrow. He'll get you through the next year. You sound confident, Pastor. Do you know something I don't know? Well, there's probably a lot of those things I know you don't know, but that's a whole other subject. But I know this. I know you can stand in the rubble of once was a proud city. I know you can hear the screams of people being slaughtered in your streets. I know you can watch the city burn. I know you can smell the smoke. I know that your mind can recall the warnings that were given, and now it is all gone. It's all lost. I know you can stand in that rubble, and you can talk about the bitterness and the affliction, but then you can take your mind back to a God. Oh, I have hope now. Why? Because we have today, and his mercy is going to get us through today. His mercy is going to get us through tomorrow, friend. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. But as we conclude the service, could I give you some advice? I'm going to do so without your permission. Maybe you need to come to an altar this morning and say, God, I'm putting my future back in your hands. It's our nature, it's my nature, God, to try and figure it out myself. But I really can't. I'm despairing over it. Let me say, if that's where you are this morning, that's a completely normal reaction of humanity, of flesh, seeking the hope, bearing the weight of the burden. This morning, I'm not telling you when we say our final amen that life is going to have fixed itself, that burdens are going to disappear, that heartache is going to vanish. All I'm trying to get us to focus on and be reminded this morning that when we do say our final amen, we have a God who is still in control. And we have a God who's going to give us the exact mercy we need today, and he'll give us the exact mercy we need tomorrow. Why don't we come put our future back in his hands and say, God, I'm just going to depend on your mercy. Say, Pastor, it must be nice to have it all figured out like you have it figured out. I don't have it figured out. But I do have one thing figured out. God knows all about it. There's some things
I don't have to figure out. It's a great day in your Christian life when you can get to that place. Say, there's some things I would change, but I can't change them. But I got a God that'll give me exactly what I need at the right moment I need it. And you can go through life confidently with a heavy burden on your shoulders if you know God's going to give you exactly what you need. Oh, there might still be some fears that we go to bed with, we get up with. But I know that God's going to give me what I need when I need it. Friend, this morning, let's look to Him. Father, we pray this morning.